This is the National Public Broadcast of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim leader.
The Quran, if you will accept my understanding that God has blessed me with, the Quran is not only addressing seen obstructions to justice and to our good life. No, it is also addressing the psychology of the oppressors who use psychology to dominate us and at the same time make us feel that they have favored us with what they gave to work on our life and retard our life. I ask now this question, was our prophet a Muslim before he got in touch with God and got the first words of revelation and became a religious person like Jews and Christians, that is, believing in God, having similar beliefs, similar articles of faith, and having similar concept of God, picture of God? Was he a Muslim before he got that? Was he a Muslim before he met God up in the mountain that came to be called the Mountain of Enlightenment or the Mountain of the Light, Jabr al-Nur? Was he a Muslim in his lifetime before that? How many say yes? Muslims only. Raise your hand. How many say yes, he was a Muslim? Thank you. You who raise your hand saying yes, he was a Muslim, you're correct. Because he said himself, everyone is born Muslim until circumstances overpower you and make you something else. So is Muslim, if we ask any student of Quran or student of a learned teacher in Islam, if we ask you, was Moses a Muslim, what is your answer? If we ask you, was Jesus a Muslim, what is your answer? So Muslim is not necessarily identifying our religion, is it? No. It's identifying something we have common with all good people. And that's why Allah in the Quran, he doesn't say, oh, you Muslims. Yeah, you hell Muslimun. It's hard to find God speaking to us that way. God says to us, yeah, you hell mu'minun. Not Muslimun, mu'minun. Oh, you believers. Believers, huh? Because a Muslim may be a Muslim only in his original substance that God created when he created man. But he might not be a Muslim in his mind. So God does not bless you, oh, you Muslims. No, I created you Muslims. I created you with a natural disposition in your life to want peace, and that peace will eventually be found with God, and once you find that peace with God, you will then find it with your fellow man, in time, all in time, of course. So then God says to us also, that the religion, Islam, Deen al-Fitra, Deen al-Fitra tu leti fatara nasa alayha. I'm only using Arabic because I know some of you speak Arabic. And you think Arabic is the sign that I know something. If I don't speak Arabic, you think I don't know anything. What a pity. That's why I speak it, but I translate everything. I'm not like a lot of these show-off imams. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, yani, alhamdulillah, inshallah, inshallah, salamu alaikum ya akhi. And that's almost his full vocabulary. In Arabic, of course. So, deen al-fitratu lati fatara nasa alayha. Allah says in our holy book, highly glorified is he. He says this religion that he gave us through Muhammad, he said it is religion of the original nature, al-fitra, of the original nature. Fitra comes from the verb fatara. Fatara means to originate, to come into existence for the first time. So it goes back to origin, human origin. And don't we take our human life back to the first man, Adam, our father, that's given to us in religion? Back to him. So this is religion of origin. It goes always back to our father, Adam. And we got this life that we call human, we got it from fathers and mothers before us. And if you trace it back and back in time, you have to eventually arrive at a first person. And this first person for us in religion is Adam. On him be peace. And he is in our genetic makeup. He never leaves us. Every one of us has inherited Adam. We have him in our genes. Yes. He is the human type that God made to be the father of all people. And that also means the leader of all people. A type to lead all people. And we know he was a kind of novice, a young beginner. And Satan was no novice. Satan had been around a long time. He had gotten wise and real slick and greasy. And Satan flipped up on him and invited him to a different thinking for his mind than that his original fear, shyness, gave him. Shyness and fear had been preserving for him a good innocent nature, a good innocent human character. But the Satan caused him to think in opposition to the suggestions of his better nature in his soul. And told him, hey, forget about that stuff. That ain't gonna make you big. That's not gonna make you rich. That's not gonna get you great knowledge and wealth. You listen to me, and I'm gonna put you on the road to great success. So Satan seduced him, Allah says, seduced him out of his form. In another place, Allah says to us, and do not follow Satan, the ways of Satan, sin, and be seduced out of your dress, the original dress that God gave us. This is not dress like this coat and your coat, your physical coat. No, it's that dresses up the soul. It's the word of God that dresses up our soul. It clothes our soul. It dresses up our soul. It dresses up our mind. It gives us a new mind. And it gives us a new life. And a new culture, a culture of righteousness. Yes? So this is the dress it's referring to. Do you wonder sometime how come they keep a skirt on the Kaaba? It is because that house represents human life, and human life wears clothing. So God says that this is a religion of origin, of human origin. The religion, the pattern, the fitra. This is the life pattern of human origin. The life pattern that he patterned all people upon. Allati fatara an-nasa alayha. The pattern upon which the original pattern for human life, for human nature, upon which he patterned all people. Now, if Adam, our first father, represents that fitra, that original pattern, then we can also understand the language that he's our father, and God through him generated all the people on earth. As Allah says, خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء. That he created all people from one soul, not one human flesh body that you can cut and bleed and die. From one soul, he created all people from one soul. and then he made of it its mate, male and female, and caused to be spread from those two all the men and women on earth, all the males and females on earth. This is the picture. So it takes us back to our oneness, to our beginning, before we took on this other clothing, the clothing of nationality, the clothing of tribe, the clothing of nationality, clothing of race. These things he made us for too, and he says, he is the one who yusawwirukum fi butuni ummahatikum. He is the one who formed you in the bellies or in the stomachs of your mothers. Fa ahsana surakum. And he made most beautiful and excellent your single picture. Huh? Your single picture. So Allah is not concerned about how beautiful you look as a black man, or as a white man, or a red man. No. Allah wants to know how beautiful you look in your soul as an original human person before you became attached to your skin color and other things like that. Now, the reason why we have this breakdown in our lives, black man, is because we have made the outer clothing more important than the foundation, the human foundation for all of us. Yes? So these outer clothing have become so much our conscious awareness, have become so much our occupation, and for some our obsession, for some our insane obsession, that we have become completely detached from the fitrah, the original excellence of human life that God made and want all of us to pattern ourselves after it. So I feel pretty good now. I asked you if Muhammad was a Muslim before he received guidance or revelation and came to know about the religion and scripture, and you said yes. I feel good. And I asked you if Muhammad said that Moses was a Muslim and Jesus Christ was a Muslim, peace be on the servants of God, and you said yes. I feel good. And then God says of us, "Antum khayra ummatan ukhrijat linnas." Ukhrijat linnas. Don't just read the compliment to you and don't read the last part. Sometimes an orator or a great speaker will put the most important thing right at the end of the sentence, so the emphasis is left on your mind. Huh? Yes. So if God says you are the best community, really, if you understand it, the Arabic language, he didn't say you are the best community. He said that when you understand khayra ummatan, you are the best of communities. Doesn't mean someone else may be better, may not be as good as you. In time, they may be better than you if you don't stay on the right track. But God says he revolves it for whom he pleases. And if one people he blessed with it don't keep earning it, he takes it away from them and give it to another. That's God. So when God says you are the best community, or you are of the best communities, ukhrijat, evolved, ukhrijat, it comes from the word meaning to bring out. And God says he likened our life to that of a plant, huh? To that of plant life. Well, when the farmer farms and he puts the seeds there and he works with them, he works with the life. Even before the seed come back, if he thinks it's too dry, you know the seed needs moisture. He'll sprinkle the earth before there any life is showing yet, huh? He sprinkles even before the life is showing yet, if he thinks it's too dry for the conditions that new life needs, huh? And he says he made us like that. Let me tell you something else. God says he is the one who brings the dead out of the living. And he brings the living out of the dead. Again, speaking from that recognition or that observation that our life have many resemblances to the life of a plant. Many likenesses to the life of plant. For it is a dead seed that bears a living plant. And then the living plant, it gives us a dead seed. And it continues. The life is continuous. Huh? So God says that he is the one that brings the living out of the dead, and he brings the dead out of the living. Now, I think we were working hard under the arm of Elijah Muhammad to bring the dead out of the living. Now what we have to do is work even harder to bring the living out of the dead. When God tells us in our holy book that Muhammad is the unlettered one mentioned in the books that came before. And don't you know we have to believe in the prophets, but also in the books that came before? He describes the Muslims in these words. They believe in the unlettered prophet. They believe in Muhammad, the prophet, that is, who brought the Quran. They believe in the Quran, and they believe in that was revealed before it. This is Allah speaking to him, that's in the Quran. Well, I don't believe in the Bible. Well, you're not a Muslim. Oh, there are things in the Bible we don't accept. That's true. But if you don't believe in the Bible, you're not a Muslim. Because the Bible contains the words of Allah to his servants, the prophets. And Allah says that Muslims are the ones who believe in Muhammad. They believe in what he brought, and they believe in what was brought before him, what came to the people before him. If you just change the way you look and think about other people in religion, it will help free you up to make much more progress in Islam than you are making. So Muhammad could read. Muhammad was a businessman. Muhammad was a businessman, a merchant who traveled to Syria. Syria. He didn't just live his life, whole life, 40 years in Arabia. Before he was called to serve God as the messenger of God and the mercy to the world, Muhammad the prophet was a businessman, and he traveled to Syria and other places abroad doing business to make his business strong. And understand this. He was kind of an unusual businessman. His boss was a female, Lady Khadija, his wife. She was in business and liked him for his honesty and his trustworthiness and his just beautiful human character. So she asked him, would he accept to take over her business for her? And he did. He became the manager of her business. And he did trade and went to other countries doing trade. This is our Prophet Muhammad, a businessman. I think that, you know, Muhammad, this is not to criticize anybody. I have no desire to do that. God knows that in my heart, to criticize other religious communities. But, you know, Muhammad, the reason why I think he made so much progress in the physical world as well as in the spiritual world, I think his following and he and his following made so much progress like that because God didn't choose somebody who got up early in the morning in the wee hours and nobody else was up but him. And he said, I got a revelation. I'm going to start me a business, and that business is going to be God's word. No. He found a man dealing with the practical things of life, businessman, but a man who was lonesome in his heart because he knew there was more to life than what he was seeing among the ignorant idol worshippers of his people. Yes, that's the kind of man God chose. He chose a man that was used to sound reasoning, business sense, rational thoughts, practical things on his mind. He chose a man like that to give the last revelation to. Thank God he didn't choose a dreamer who woke up, broke his sleep and woke up and was hearing voices and thought they were the voice of God. What is it? What is this human model? This human model is the seed of human life. It's really the seed. What is the seed? The seed is the most productive part of the life. The bark of a tree, you can't plant it and get another tree. Even the skin and meat of the fruit that holds the seed, you can't plant that meat and skin and get another tree or another life. You have to take that died inside of the fruit. It died so it may live again. Oh, you sound like a Christian now. Yeah, you keep reading the Quran and you're going to sound like me. If you read it with your eyes open, not with your eyes fastened to something that is outside of the Quran and contrary to the teachings of the Quran. That will never permit you to see the Quran. Yes. So the seed is the core, our core. And we are the seed of one Father, aren't we? Aren't we the seeds of one Father? So shouldn't all these seeds be the same? And shouldn't all of these seeds be able to reproduce life? Oh, yes, I can. But that's what the arrogant white people charge us with. See, you black people, you can produce babies, but nothing else. I'm not talking about that kind of sexual thing. I'm talking about your head producing something. I'm talking about the intelligence in the skull, in the cave of your brain, at the cave that holds your brain. I'm talking about that intelligence reproducing life so that we will have the same excellent life now and hereafter. Can you reproduce yourself, black man? The arrogant whites, they say you can't. And they're about to convert me. I'm looking at what you're doing on this planet nowadays. And they're about to convert me. I don't think you can reproduce yourself either. I'm beginning to doubt that you can reproduce yourself. Can you reproduce us for us, Frederick Douglass? I want you to try hard. I'm afraid to mention any other leader. I feel pretty safe with Frederick Douglass. I'll stop right there. Not that I don't love others. I love them, but you didn't attach so much to them. I don't know if they will destroy you or save you. Yes. I was preaching like this once, and someone whispered in my ears, said, "Imam, isn't that anthropology?" I love anthropology. Anthropology is a study of human life on this planet. How human life started and how it evolved, how it progressed, how it advanced from primitive time to this time. Anthropology. I love anthropology. But anthropology speaks not with a focus on what is the most important non-tangible or non-physical principle or element working in man to explain why he is so unusual as a life type or a life. But religion does. Revelation, scripture does explain that. Allah made Adam, and the angel said, "What is this that you're making here? This is going to cause a lot of trouble. You're making this creature, and it's not like us. You made us to do only your will, to obey. And you're making this creature here to have his own mind and to choose for himself whether he wants to obey or not." They were afraid of that kind of creation. So they expressed their fear to God. And God replied to them. He said, when I have inspired him of my own soul, of my own self, of my own spirit, when I have inspired him of my own spirit, given him of my own spirit, then you accept him and make sesta to him. That's what God told the angels. So it is not the human being like we see each other. It is not Wallace, born October 30th, 1930. And the first thing they saw was a flesh. They didn't see me. They saw flesh. And they called that me. Oh, that's still you, Brother Imam. No, it's not. This flesh is no more me than this here is me. Because I do not anymore identify my life and my birth with that physical birth that took place October 30th, 1933. I identify that, my birth now, with the birth of the new person, the new life that's in me. That's my real self. And yeah, hold a minute. My soul inside of the physical body that was born on that day had a seed in it, and it was just waiting for the right environment to open itself and release the new life for me. And it took the right environment and everything, as we need for a seed. It took the right environment to give me the moisture and the support substance from substance, earth, or whatever you want to call it. It took that to bring out the life, and it sprouted a new person. Yes, out of it came a new person that I call my Imam, W. Dean Muhammad. Yes. Now, if I don't know my Imam, W. Dean Muhammad, I can't make any more progress. If I just know Wallace D. Muhammad, born on that day I gave you, I cannot make progress. But if I stay in touch with the new life that was born in me many years ago now, and it has been growing, and I have to say, as a witness, Wallace has to say, this Imam, this new person in this body, oh, he is something. He is beautiful, and he is great. Yes, he is. He is great enough to make me not see Wallace D. Muhammad, the flesh man that was born October 30th, 1933. He's so great, he keeps me humble. He lifts me up and makes me big. I can look over the rooftops of everybody. But I'm still humble on the earth.
Join us next time for the national public broadcast of W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. For more on the ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, call 1-708-798-6750. All right, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.